Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. Got a very special guest today, a current college football player who goes to a college we're going to recognize today, Colby College, which is a small Division III school in the New England Conference. It's a great school. It's in the NESTAC, which we'll talk about with our guest, Mark Darty Jr., who went to Jesuit High School in New Orleans, Louisiana, a linebacker, a great kid that's got a couple of years left of college football because of COVID-19. Mark, thanks for joining us all the way from Maine.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be on.
Waterville, Maine, right, Mark?
Yes, sir. Waterville, Maine. It's central Maine, about an hour north of Portland, Maine, which is probably the biggest city.
So. Yeah, I remember your senior year, we did your highlight tape, and your dad, Mark Darty Sr., I talked to your dad, and we sent it all over the country. You don't know where it's going to stick and who's going to want who, but to be paired up with Colby College, tell everybody what made it so easy for you to go out of state. We always knew, your dad always said, look, my son will go anywhere in the country. And you were not one of those kids that said, look, I got to stay by the house or I got to stay home. But you really were not scared to take that leap to go away. I mean, you actually looked at it as a challenge, I think.
Yeah, that's a good point. I would say I would say that going away was kind of like a challenge for me, like you said. But I accepted that challenge, and kind of wanted that, coming through the recruiting process and everything. Most of the schools I was talking to were all out of state. The recruiting process was hard in that aspect, but it was fulfilling once I got up here and once I realized I can do this, thousands of miles away. So
1,700 miles away, as you put it, Colby caught 1,700 miles. I know where Maine's at.
Yep.
I lived in Boston.
It's actually a 25 hour drive from New Orleans.
There you go. To be technical, there you go. I lived in Boston, Massachusetts, so we would go to Maine for lobster, and you've been there for almost 3 years now, but you're 6 foot tall, 225 pounds, and you were a punishing hitter at Jesuit High School in New Orleans, Louisiana. You were also a baseball player. You were on the wrestling team. You overcame some knee injuries. Really a tough kid. I mean, you've fully recovered from that, obviously. Majoring in economics and a minoring in religious studies. Tell everybody, first of all, we're going to take a quick break, Mark, and when we come back, I want to ask you if you've experienced any snow months up there yet, any cold days that stick out to you that you remember the most for football games. Kind of think of something we can talk about when we come back on that. We'll be back with more with Mark Darty Jr., who is a Louisiana kid in Maine, Louisiana right now at Colby College. We'll be right back. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. Our guest today is Mark C. Darty Jr., played football at Jesuit High School, now is at Colby College in Waterville, Maine, has 2 years left. You get a year back from the COVID-19, so you've got 2 years. You're going to get your degree pretty soon. I mean, you don't have it yet, but you'll have 2 years to play, basically, with a degree, which is a great option for you. Mark, talk about being a part of the team at Colby College and what it – any stories that stick out, anything that sticks out to you about the cold, like being really cold for a game, any games stick out to you?
Yeah, so last year we near the end of the season, we started playing some cold games, and there was a game. It was, I think it was like 15 degrees outside. It was a night game against Bowdoin College,
okay,
which is another school in Maine. I remember the first hit that I had, all the wind in my body just got knocked out, and I was like, okay, this is different. This is different than it being 50 in New Orleans playing at Tad Gormley. So
you got used to it, and though, like just, anything else, right? You just get used to it.
Right. You get used to it, but you never actually really get used to it. I would say that when it snows here, when it started snowing my first year here, everybody else was like, oh, no, this sucks. It's starting to snow. But me as a New Orleans kid, I've never really seen snow. So I was excited. But then it loses its flavor after, you know, a week or two. You start wanting the sun again.
Or 30 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Want to mention your football career. You went in as a freshman. You got on the second team as a true freshman at Colby College. After two games, started seeing some playing time. By the end of the season, you had told us you had taken over the starting Mike linebacker role and finished with 23 tackles and a sack, a few tackles behind the line, and an interception in a rivalry game against Bowdoin. And in 2021, you moved Mike to Rover in the 4-2-5 scheme. But tell everybody about that conference, Mark, and some of the other schools that you play against. There's some of them here, Westland, where Bill Belichick went. By the way, Belichick went to a prep school called Phillips Academy before that. Amherst, which I know a lot about Amherst, a good school. Hamilton, Williams, Middlebury, Trinity, Bates, Tufts, and I might be saying that word wrong. Bowdoin? Is that how you say it?
It's Bowdoin, yeah, Bowdoin.
Bowdoin. So what do you think of this yeah. conference and the caliber of players in it?
So the NESCAC is kind of referred to a lot by people up north is as the small Ivies or the D3 Ivies. So you know how like the Ivies kind of do their own thing in Division I?
Yeah.
It's similar to that with the NESCAC. We have our own kind of rules. Academically, the reputation is pretty high, especially in the Northeast. Maybe you don't, not everybody knows about it down south, but I would say football-wise, we get a lot of guys that are on the cusp of being D1 guys that are trying to pursue academics at a higher level. Mm-hmm. And I really think that this league, since I've been here, has only grown, and it's only been 2 years. It's been around for a while, and the people up here are passionate about it. I would say that.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I would say that you're fine. I would say that the CBB rivalry is very similar to like a Jesuit Holy Cross type feel, where you know both communities are really fired up about that game or those games.
When we come back, I want to take a break. I want to come back and talk to you about academics because to you, it's not just football. You know, some kids, it's all football. You, I know it's academics one, football second. You went in with a 31 ACT. You're at a school now that accepts kids only if they have a 34 in your major. That's incredible. And the acceptance rate is 8% into the school, which is incredible. It's really hard to get into the school. But we're going to take a break and talk more with Mark Daugherty, Jr., from New Orleans, Louisiana, played at Jesuit, but Blue Jays. And we're going to talk to him about what he thinks about Ryan Minnalli being named the new coach. I know Ryan and his brother, Dennis Daugherty, is going to be a senior class 222. I want you to brag on your younger brother, who's also a linebacker. And we'll talk about T.J. Finley, too, later in the show from Ponchatoula and LSU, who's transferring as a quarterback where he might go in the end. But we're going to be right back. Looking for a used car? Harvey Autos has three dealerships, which means three times the used vehicles. They've got everything from fuel-efficient compacts to luxury models, even hybrids, and certified pre-owned with a warranty. Check out John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, or Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. Our guest today is Mark Daugherty Jr. And Mark, I'm a junior too, man, so we've got a lot in common. You know, I've got the same name as my dad. And so,
you gotta always put that qualifier in.
Yeah. Did they confuse you sometimes and say, oh, no, junior, senior? I mean, I get that sometimes. Like, oh, we know your dad, or you got the.
Yeah,
or
a lot.
Or you'll meet somebody that goes, well, I think I know your dad.
That happens a lot in New Orleans. Not so much up here, but yes, in New Orleans, it happens a lot.
Yeah. The main area, you know, that lobster profession, I'm sure all those guys know each other in that profession down there and in that area. But talking about academics, very important to you. 31 ACT, leaving Jesuit. I mean, 31's a big-time score. And you're playing on the same team at Colby College with a lot of guys that have over 30s. And so, I mean, tell us how important academics is to you, Mark.
Yeah, I would say that's one of the main reasons I came to a school like Colby. I'm majoring in economics. I have a minor in religious studies right now. I think it's important because I know that eventually someday football is going to end for me, and I'm going to have basically my education to rely on to carry me through the, you know, the rest of my life. And so I kind of look at it as a way to compete both on the field and in the classroom, just kind of compete in everything you do. And that's something that I like to do.
Our guest today is Mark Daugherty, Jr., who's played ball at Jesuit High School football, was a wrestler, baseball player, now at Colby College in Maine. I saw you play in high school, and I'm looking forward to getting your highlight tape when you're done at Colby, because you were a punishing tackler in high school. I mean, man, you were a true Mike. And if anybody came your way, man, you're gonna take them down, or you're gonna try with all your ability. I mean, you were always 110% on the field. Can't wait to see, like I said, once you're finished at Colby, to see some of your film up there, man. I mean, I know that you've got the same attitude you did in high school, but that gets us to Jesuit. I know you still keep up with your brother, obviously, Dennis, who's going to be a really big-time player, linebacker in the class of 222 for Jesuit back in your hometown in New Orleans. What do you think of Dennis? Y'all have similar builds. Maybe he's a little taller, about 6'2", 230, but similar builds. I mean, y'all both strong-built kids. He's also a wrestler for the high school team. I mean, it's like y'all have a lot of parallels, you and your brother, similarities.
Yeah, I would say that he's probably, like an inch or two taller than me, which works in his favor. And he's been starting for 3 years at Jesuit, and with the new head coach, Ryan Manali, I think that they're poised to do some big things this year. just like to brag on Dennis for a little bit. I think he had like 105 tackles last year, with like close to 15 tackles for loss. So, I mean, Dennis can really play. He's starting to get a lot of interest from colleges, and he's excited about that. I'm excited for him. I'm looking forward to hopefully being in town for some of his games. If not, I'll try to stream him or something. So,
you're in college now, going on 3 years. How do you see Dennis, where he's at and where you were at? I mean, he looks like he's already, you know, super strong. what I like about him, he's another Mike linebacker. You're both Mikes. But, you know, he just looks like he's put his weight on, like, earlier. You know, 230 is a lot of weight to have on, and he's pretty lean at 230.
Yeah, he's a big kid. I remember I came up to Maine, and he was probably sitting at, like, 210. And then I came back, and he was, like, 230, weighing probably more than me. And I was like, okay, I got to step my game up a little bit. So.
Now, who would win in a wrestling match between you and your brother, since y'all both have that background? Be pretty close?
I will never give him that. I'll say I'll win. but he's a very good wrestling.
Your coach at Colby College, I got to mention Jack Cosgrove, I mean, Jack is a veteran coach that coached 2 decades, you told me, at the University of Maine. Treats the Colby program like the same. He ran D1 schools of all the time as a coach. But what do you think of Coach?
Yeah, Coach Cos is he's a beast. Like you said, he spent a lot of time up the road at UMaine. I think he's like the winningest coach all time there. He's an older guy who wanted to come to Colby and kind of restore the winning tradition that we have here. And like you said, he treats this D3 program the same way he ran the D1 program at Maine. He tells us that all the time. He expects the most out of us. Kind of like an old school coach learning new school ways every now and then.
I like that.
But he really puts his players first, and I appreciate that out of him.
You also get a brand new, you had sent this to me, a brand new athletic center, 350,000 square feet, ice rink, natatorium, state-of-the-art training, workout facilities. What do you think of this new facility that's built?
It was actually one of the reasons I came to Colby, along with the academics. You know, during the recruiting process, they were building it. And then this year was the first year that we were able to go in it and have our locker room in there. It's beautiful. Honestly, you can't find that in the NESCAC, anything that compares to it, honestly. You'd have to go to a D1 school to see something that rivals what we have. For such a small school,
yeah,
to have that athletic center is going to give us a leg up in competing next year.
Our guest is Mark Daugherty, Jr., Jesuit high school linebacker. He's now at Colby College in Maine, Waterville, Maine. Mark, who has the most talent, in your opinion, as a football player? Who do you think has the most talent in the league? Like, who always has, like, the pro prospects and the most talent? Would it be your school, or is there a school that sticks out to you that the team plays that just always has a ton of talent?
I would say that over the past 10 years or so, it's been Trinity. Trinity has kind of done well with recruiting, and obviously that translates to the field. I know that Williams, before I got here, was pretty good. And so I'd say those two teams were near the top. Actually, Middlebury won the NESCAC last year.
Okay.
So I guess you could say them too. But Colby's on the come up, and we're gonna make some noise next year.
Now, I know Colby didn't play football. You didn't play football last year. It had to be really weird for you, this whole thing. But y'all were able to have practice in the spring. Everybody was granted another year of eligibility. That's tough, man. I mean, being that you're from, and I ask kids this all the time, Mark, but, you know, you're being 1,700 miles away from home, and you got COVID-19 going on. I mean, how did you handle that? Obviously, that was a huge adjustment for you being away from home and like everybody else dealing with this, but it had to be the craziest thing ever for you, right, Mark, to deal with this being 1,700 miles from home.
Yeah, it was tough, especially not having a football season. Because that's, you know, one of the reasons I come to a school like Colby is to play football. But I would say that just relying on my friends and, you know, being able to talk to my coaches and stuff, if I ever got overwhelmed with the whole COVID restrictions and everything like that. But also, we were able to practice in the spring. We were able to lift weights. So we were still around in a team atmosphere. Even though we weren't playing games,
okay,
which obviously, you know, was good, but it not all that it could have been.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you made it through it, and you did it, and it's going to make you a better person. You know, I always tell people, these kids like yourself that are 18, 19, 20 years old, to go through something that's never happened in over 100 years, to not be, you know, be kind of locked off even from your teammates at times, because I'm sure at times you couldn't even get around anybody, and you couldn't have any social time with anybody at school, and that's why you go to college, to meet people and go places and see things, and you couldn't, you know, it's, you, the kids couldn't do that, right? It's just, it was just kind of a, it was really, you know, I can imagine if I was 18, 19, 20 having to go through that, and you're in college away from home. So, I mean, you handled it really good. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to get your thoughts on quarterbacks. Mark, I know you like to tackle them when you're in college, but I'm going to talk about T.J. Finley and maybe where he might end up from LSU and get your thoughts on quarterbacks, because quarterbacks, they don't like to stay anywhere if they're backing someone up. They like they don't like to sit long, right?
No, yeah.
We're going to be right back with more Mark Daugherty in just a moment. So, hey, guys. Just wanted to take a minute to tell you about Harvey Autos. If you need a new or used car, there's three great dealerships right here worth checking out. John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, and Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Low prices, honest people, tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. Our guest today is Mark Daugherty Jr., who is a native of New Orleans, played at Jesuit. He's now at Colby College. And Waterville, Maine, Division III college. They have a really good football program, great facilities coming up. T.J. Finley is transferring out of LSU, the highly recruited 6'6" quarterback from Ponchatoula, who came out a year before you, Mark. He came out, a year after you, I'm sorry. You came out in 19. He came out this past year, 220. Has a cannon arm. LSU has four pro prospect quarterbacks, four. And he's going to go to another school. I predict he'll be at a big-time D1 school, but I hope he goes to a school where he can start, because a lot of these quarterbacks, when they leave a college, they want to start if they're not starting the first year or two from leaving the first school. Quarterbacks, they don't like to sit very long. And TJ would be better, I think, at ULL back coming home, or going to a smaller, like, Conference USA school like Rice, or, you know, maybe even Baylor, or, you know, somewhere like Oklahoma State. Because there's no defenses, Mark, in these other conferences outside of the SEC. There's just not very good defense. And if you've got an arm, this kid throws the ball 80 yards in the air. Now, he runs like a 5'140", 5'2", so he's not, you know, it's tough to be that in the SEC, you know, with these defenses, like at Florida and Georgia and LSU and Auburn and, you know, Alabama. But I think this kid would be putting up 5,000 yards passing at certain schools, even Louisville, you know, schools like that where they don't really play good defenses. And but if you go to another Florida and you don't win the job, then that's two schools that you might not be happy at. So what do you think of these quarterbacks, man? These, they're your leader of the team, but they're also guys that they just don't like to sit the bench very long.
Yeah, I think that quarterbacks, especially, you know, on that big time college football like level, that D1 level, they transfer a lot, and that's just kind of the way it's been, you know, recently. I think they have the right to transfer. I don't know if I would necessarily, but I respect their decisions, but it just wouldn't be my decision. But you know, to each their own.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, if you go to a second college, you don't want to be a backup still if you lose the job. You want to go – wouldn't you go somewhere where you would actually start the second go-around maybe?
Yeah, I think, too, is you got to look at the – once you go to a new college, you got to reroute yourself in that college, you know, your friends, your, you know, professors, everything like that. So, coaches, you're starting from ground zero again.
Orientation, huh?
Right.
You don't even know how to get to your class again. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, you're back to being a freshman.
Right. What do you like most about football, Mark? I know that you're a tough kid on the field and you're a great student in the classroom, but what is it about football? And then you played baseball. You're a pretty good baseball player, and you were a wrestler in high school, all three sports. But what is it about football that you like the game so much? And I know your dad's a passionate person with the game, and your brother Dennis, but y'all just one big sports family. I mean, everybody loves sports.
Yeah, I would say that football has been an outlet for me to just, you know, be myself 100%. I love that the hitting, you get to hit people and it's not, you know, frowned upon.
It's legal.
Yeah, it's totally legal. Also encouraged. I would say that having teammates that are all, you know, bought in on the same goal. Football, I say, is the ultimate team sport, because if one guy doesn't do their job, the whole system is going to break down more so than in other sports. And so I'd say that that's probably why I love football so much and why I continue to play.
All right, before we go, tell everybody about I might be putting you on the spot here because you probably hadn't looked at the schedule, or you might know. But tell everybody when Colby starts their season. Is it first week of September like a lot of the schools, or do y'all start before September?
I think we come up for camp probably 3 weeks, like after the first week of August, and then I think our first game is September, like that first weekend in September. We play Wesleyan.
Okay. You're on top of it. You're on top of it, Mark. There you go.
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't get a season this year, so I'm looking forward to it.
You're studying it. is the first game a home game?
Yes, sir, it is.
Tell everybody about the name of the stadium, and if they are in Boston or New York, which is not far from Maine or Connecticut, they could slide over there and come catch a game, you know, because there are a lot of people listening to this are traveling from Louisiana, and today we're letting them know about Colby College. A lot of people didn't even know about the school till today, you know, outside that area. But tell everybody about the name of the stadium, and you know, tickets are not super expensive, I would think, to get a ticket and go in there and watch a game.
Yeah, we play at Harold Alphon Stadium. He's a big donor to the college and to Maine in general. Usually if it's a day game, it'll be around 1 o'clock. If it's a night game, probably around 6:30, 7. And the atmosphere there is fun. It's, you know, a lot of the students come out, a lot of the surrounding area comes out. And it's a good atmosphere to watch a football game in.
What is the enrollment there, Mark? Is there, what would be the total enrollment if you were guessing for the college at Colby?
That's a good question. I think it's somewhere near 3,000.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit more, because I know we're accepting more kids right now than we were when I was getting in, because the applications are there. So
it's like a big high school enrollment wise, basically.
Yeah, I would say so. Sometimes it feels a little small, but it has its benefits too.
But the good thing is you know everybody. That's the good thing.
Right. And you're able to talk to your professors on a more, like, personal basis. You know everybody, all your friends, you know. So it's a good time.
It's different than being at, let's say, University of Connecticut, which is not far away, and they have 30,000 students. I mean, that's a whole day. I like the small venue, actually. I like that. You know, I like the idea of knowing everybody that goes to the school. And like you said, you get more one-on-one help within the classrooms, I would think, too. Like you said, not as many people. Some of these colleges have 1,000 kids in the class. And I would think it's a little set up a little bit differently here, right?
Yeah, it's it reminds me of a high school type class atmosphere, to where, you know, you're held accountable more so than you would be in a 1,000 person class, and that helps me a lot. So
yeah, I would think so. 100 or 200 instead of, you know, 800 kids or 1,000 kids in a classroom with a projector, you know, that there's some advantages to this. And, you know, we might have helped a parent with their kid for your college. You know, I'm sure Coach will love this. And when we get off the air here and we finish with the show, I want to get the current email from Coach from you so I can get Coach the show as well. I know Coach will love knowing we did this, to promote the school and promote yourself. And I'm excited for you this year. I'm excited for your brother Dennis at Jesuit. And I'm excited for football to start back, right? I mean, we need it. We need it. We need to get back to normal, and I think everybody's pretty much looking forward to that. And one final thing, spring practice. Are y'all in the middle of that, or is it starting later? Or
We actually just got done with it.
Okay.
I think it was last week. We had about a month of spring practice. Went really well. A lot of the younger guys have stepped into roles that we needed them to. So I think it went really well.
All right, man. Well, look, you need to eat a lot of lobster, right, from here on out. Have you tried some lobster in Maine?
Yes, sir. It's good. It's very good.
Yeah, I mean, they're known for that, and it's. I'm sure you've got to see the sights around Maine, and it's. I'm a fisherman, so I would love that to see that. And I saw it a little bit when I lived in Boston. Would go up and get lobster in Maine when I was living in Andover, Massachusetts, and I was working at Phillips Academy, Mark, and that's where, like I said, Belichick went there. It's a prep school, and we would get off of work at 7 at night, and drive to Maine to eat. And it was like, wasn't even an hour, you know, to get there, maybe 30 minutes, 35 minutes. But any final thoughts to any of the kids out there that are listening, or mom and dads, you know, kids that are trying to decide where to go to college? Any advice for anybody if they're listening to the show?
Yeah, I would just say keep your options open. Never burn any bridges. And if you want to pursue, you know, a career after football, you know, sometimes smaller schools like Colby, you can make the connections possible to, you know, do something that you love later in life, and while also still getting able to play the game that you love, and it's a good time.
Well, I know you're going to do great, and you're a great student, so you're going to have a great career after sports is over in the real world. With your economics degree and also your minoring in religious studies, you've got a great future ahead of you. You've got 2 years left to play ball, and that's a great thing. You're going to have five total already going through your third year. Mark, thanks for joining us today. Don't hang up. We're going to end the show today. I want everybody to go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com, to get the 25th year. You can pre-order the 25th year for our preview issue. It's going to be out this September. All 300 high schools, including Jesuit High School. His brother Dennis will be in that magazine, and several other Blue Jays and all the other schools and all the 12 colleges. We will see everybody really soon.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.